distinction. On the one hand, we have officers who are professional, who are aggressive, who take their oath seriously. No, let me finish now, I listen to you. Who take their oath of office seriously and who aggressively enforce the law. And sometimes they may overreact. I am not concerned about that. I want those officers to do their job. I come from a community that needs effective policing, and I want that done. However, all professionals have to behave within standards, within constraints, like the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, like the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, like the policy and procedures of the police department that are currently in place. The offenses of some of these officers, like the ones who are being defended and put back on the force by the FOP, have nothing to do with guys like you who are aggressively trying to do their job. We're talking about assault and battery. We're talking about many criminal offenses that are put back on the force, and it is the criminal offenses against the people that is being targeted, not the excessive attempt to enforce the law.
If a bad apple is a bad apple, it's going to be found out sooner or later. I mean, if somebody that bad...
What, after somebody's killed?
It's going to happen.
It's too late. Soon. We can't wait. We got to prevent it.
We ought to operate, you have laws, your own moral code, and your rules and procedures, and then we operate in a gray area. I mean, you're telling me 3 o'clock in the morning, you got to make a split decision in an abandoned house chasing somebody, that you're going to be judged by you? It's 3 years later?
Well, only if you handcuff me and then beat me in the head.
Thank you. Final question.
See, I had a question on due process, but I wanted to respond to just a couple things first. On the question of bringing suits against the police in order to get justice. You can't do that when you're dead. I mean, that. Another thing, I thought that Mr. Hines said he was president of the Pittsburgh Police Union. Then I'm wondering why he's defending the police who killed Johnny Gamage by saying that it was a chase when those police under testimony themselves did not describe a chase, and why he said that the cause of death wasn't clear when in fact the there was a clear determination.
My question,
in relation to due process, and I think it's important that the police are paying attention to this, because my question is, why is it unclear to a police officer when somebody is committing a crime, why is it unclear what they should do if not to arrest them and charge them and allow them to be tried, as opposed to determining that there is a crime, determining what the punishment should be, namely beating someone or killing someone, and determining that that's the right course. Why is it unclear? And why, I also see in the press, why is Mr. Hines making what I see as threats against the population of this city in terms of what the police are going to do or not do in relation to crimes being committed, because the police aren't clear what they're supposed to do. When you said that the police weren't going to go the extra step because they're under criticism now.
Would any debater in the name of the sign like to respond to that?
I don't know what particular question I'm supposed to answer.
Why it was apparently clear in many cases that there is excessive force, is it easy for you to make the determination that it is so clear when it's not so clear?
It's clear when the case is gone through the process. When the individual has his day in court and the courts rule against him, I have no problem with that. I just hate officers being taken to Market Square once a month and have an officer drawn and quartered with nothing, no validity, no proof. I'm not supporting bad apples. I say if that guy's wrong, then you bring charges and you terminate him. You do what you have to do. But don't go after the entire police department. That's wrong.
Now we're moving into the final stage of the debate, where the debaters will present their closing remarks. We'll start with the first affirmative speech. Joe Panzino will close the debate.
Thank you. This is certainly compassionate issue, and his feelings run very strong on both sides. I would like to reiterate that I am, in fact, I feel that I myself am very pro-police. I believe an effective police force is probably the single most important thing that we have to look forward to in this city here. I want to correct one of the misinformation just the councilman has pointed out. I had said earlier that 8 of 10 of the officers had faced charges that involved either excessive force or assault. 6 of those individuals were back at work due to a technicality of a letter not being written within a certain time frame. An agreement that had been observed by administrations and FOP bodies in the past for a number of years. Three of the remaining officers are under appeal right now, and it is suspected that those 3 will be reinstated as well. The point here is that what has gone on in many of these instances have left a great number of people afraid to file these types of complaints. And I'd submit to you tonight that one of the big reasons why it's being pushed not to approve this type of a board is because it's a floodgate. And once this sort of thing is created, once a person can feel comfortable that a policeman will not retaliate against them, once another police officer can feel comfortable that his fellow officers won't ostracize and punish him for what he's done, then the information will start to come out and we'll begin to get a true picture of what's going on here over the last several years. This is not a new issue. This takes us back many, many years. Many people have taken beatings and just walked away and chosen not to do or try to do anything about it. These times need to change. Had they not had a video camera in California for Rodney King, we would not have seen that issue even make trial. This would have been just another loudmouth brother that got what he deserved. And unfortunately, it's seen in too many instances like this. I'm not anti-police. I want effective police, but I want accountability. I want to know, when you pull a gun out on someone or you choose to shoot someone, that you've had reasonably good cause. There are times when a good officer is going to be faced with a difficult decision. He's going to make it. Sometimes those decisions might be wrong. Sometimes they won't. Either way, a good officer should not be punished for that. A good officer should have his day in court. He should have a hearing of that. He's certainly not going to be dismissed for the color of his hair. That's not what I'm seeking. But I seek a voice. I want a voice for a whole lot of other people that don't have a voice. Thank you.
First negative closing speech will be delivered by John Cook. 3 minutes.
I've been listening pretty closely tonight, and I heard the affirmative side say that first, if the board was enacted, it would have the ability to weed out calls for complaints that weren't exactly legitimate. I'd like to know how long it would take until the board itself has a lawsuit filed against it, because it's weeding out complaints. Who has the right to say whose complaint is right and whose complaint is wrong? I also heard that there is overwhelming public support, but I wonder if the public completely understands that the ultimate decision is up to the mayor. And the mayor, in the beginning, when this issue began, stood out against a civilian reward. Now, I've heard Councilman Dean say, give it a chance. Give it a chance so we can spend money, so we can spend time, and so we can spend energy on something that ultimately will not work. I don't understand. Now, if the ultimate decision is up to a mayor, and we've heard that the mayor really doesn't want to do anything about this issue, and then we wait for another mayor to come in, who also decided against the civilian reward, do the citizens know that this isn't going to happen, that they're facing dissatisfaction, and that sooner or later, they're going to be against this situation?
that this debate tonight has been important because, in one respect, in a way, will model what we will be able to do if we have a civilian review board. We will be able to have citizens who feel that maybe they've been abused by the police or have great concern about it in the same room with police officers who feel that the eye of the public and the media and a number of agencies is too closely scrutinizing what they do and inhibiting what they do in terms of their police functions. And I think that's important because we need to get to know each other and we need to understand what it is like to be in each other's shoes. And that's what a civilian review board will be able to do. Through its public hearing processes, it will be able to investigate the problems that are happening in our city and have forums where people can talk and learn about what's happening in each other's lives. There have been a number of things that have been said regarding other civilian review boards, which I don't believe are true. For example, the cost of the Philadelphia Review Board has been put at $1.6 million, but I talked to the executive director, and he tells me their budget is only $350,000, far below the amount of money that is now being asked of the city of Pittsburgh. So there are a number of things. I've talked to community organizations in Philadelphia, one of them, the Philadelphia Lesbian Gay Task Force, and they give thumbs up for the Civilian Review Board. There are not people in Philadelphia, for many communities, protesting the existence of a Civilian Review Board. I talked with the director of the San Francisco Complaint Board in San Francisco, and just recently, the citizens of San Francisco voted to increase the number of commissioners on their commission by 5 so that there's one commissioner for every 150 police officers. They're increasing the budget. They do this by referendum in California a lot more than we do. And it was the city council, the board of supervisors that said that the civilian review board shouldn't exist, and it was the people of the city of San Francisco who voted it in and are now voting it to increase it. The idea that San Francisco and Philadelphia are a failure simply is not true. And we, not only do we measure this by talking to the organizations themselves, but we talk to community groups. So I didn't get to just get this from executive directors. And we talk to community groups in San Francisco, and they're supportive of it also. So that idea. It's very important that the Civilian Review Board pass on May 20th because, and for the first time, the citizens of this city will be a part of the process of deciding how police-community relations will occur. Police officers have nothing to fear in terms of the number of sustained cases. I said there was an increase when there's civilian review, but it's from like 9% to 11%. It's a minor increase when you compare it to internal review. The increase is not dramatic, and that is because review boards are reasonable. We need to get together and talk to the community instead of separate divisions.
I second the closing speech, Councilman Dan Arroyo.
Thank you, and I thank you for the invite to be here today. Over the last year and a half now, Councilman Udine and I had the opportunity to be in the middle of this debate, and it's been a very heated debate. And I have no doubt that Councilman Udine is very passionate about this, and he also believes in his heart this is the right thing to do. And we have an honest disagreement on this issue. I do not think that I am disingenuous because I don't agree with somebody's opinion. I'm willing to stand up and say reasonable people can disagree on how to solve a problem. And there's a problem out there, but there's different ways to solve it. I also have to disagree with the young lady that said the overwhelming majority of Pittsburghers want this. I didn't see that. I will tell you that the debates were dominated by people that wanted the civilian review board, between 50 to 100 speakers at the 6 or 7 debates. That's not the entire city. And it's also the advocates for an issue come out for public debates, and rightfully so. And I even said I made sure I attended every one of those hearings. I also represent a part of the city that has a big crime problem, and that it concerns me, and people that have complained about abuse. But I also recognize that the crime rate is dropping right now. But I'm fearful that things I see in the neighborhoods I represent is going to flare up again this summer. So it's a tough balancing act that we have to perform down in City Council. I honestly believe the Civilian Review Board would go in the other direction, and it's not the way to address the problems that we're hearing that are out there. And I did not imply that the only way you can resolve this problem is wait every 4 years for the mayor.
My point there is that the mayor is a civilian overseas the police department. Things have happened already within his first term. He's the one that switched chiefs of police and put police chief McNeely in there. Now let's not forget, before Chief McNeely, there was no officer fired for abuse of action. This chief fired 10 individuals. He's only been in office 12 months. He fired 10 individuals. Yes, we can argue and be upset about the officers that get back on because of the procedure and point fingers whose fault that was. But the point is, this mayor and his chief of police have taken actions that are unique to the city. And that can't go unnoticed, and I think sometimes it does. And other actions in council, the Human Relations Commission now has an increased role in reviewing complaints. Also, the tracking system, the computerized system we talked about, has been put in place. Three out of the four recommendations in that consent decree were already implemented or started. The only one not being the auditor was the new item. So changes are happening. You don't have to wait for 4 years because the mayor, like Councilman Medina, myself, we're political people, meaning we do hear and we respond to the public, but we respond in different ways. On this particular issue, you have two of us here that disagree on this issue. However, as Councilman Medina said, I think there's a lot of common ground. There's a lot of issues that in this room we can agree on. We're not going to agree on everything, but let's take the common ground area and move forward. But I think if we're going to avoid calling each other names because we don't agree with each other's opinion, it's probably the best thing we can do. I want to thank you for the opportunity here. And believe me, this is a very important issue to me too. And I respect your opinion. I just hope we can move forward after this vote, up or down, and the city move forward. Thank you.
Speaker for the affirmative side,
Councilperson Salo. I also want to join in thanking you for convening this debate. I think it's a very important debate. I'd like to challenge Mr. Hines, however, he's the last speaker here tonight. And I'd like to, the challenge is this. If the moment I hear the police in this city, the good police officers, the moment I hear them step forward and say, we're going to police ourselves and we're going to get rid of the bad apples, I will drop the Citizen Police Review Board like a hot potato. That's commitment. And you too, Mr. Hyde. The moment I hear you vote once to terminate a police officer in the grievance arbitration, I'll drop it. I'd like to know how many officers you voted against to terminate in the grievance procedure. Either way this comes out, I think we all win. We the citizens of this city. We've already, I think, started to improve the police department, professionalism and effectiveness of the police department, and the relationship between the community and the police. Community policing is the way we're going to solve crime in this city in the 90s, and I think we've already started to improve that. The Justice Department, just a correction, the reason why the Justice Department report has not been publicized. It's not that they came here and found nothing. They came here and they have a report like this. And they have offered the city a consent decree. They said, we can either agree to this consent decree or we can go to trial. And if we go to trial, this is what I'm going to trial with. And the city said, yes, we'll sign a consent decree. That's why, because they had a massive report that they could have and they will go to trial with, and that's the reason why they haven't exposed it, because in case they have to go to trial, they want to be able to preserve the integrity of their evidence. We need more than just debate, folks. We need action. Those of you who feel strongly on either side of this action, we need action. And I encourage those of you who feel positively about the Citizens Review Board, please contact my office at City Council. We need your support for the referendum campaign that will put this thing, once we get it on the ballot, so that we can get a yes vote in the May 20th primary. Thank you again for attending, and thank you for organizing the debate.
Final speaker of the evening is Marshal Smokey Hines, who will present the third negative closing argument.
I just found out tonight we resolved this. There's not going to be any civilian review. Councilman O'Dean is going to withdraw the thing. Because in the one case that I sat on an arbitration hearing, I voted to suspend the officer, which was about a 5-month suspension.
Said terminate.
Councilman, I didn't interrupt you. I voted to suspend him because the city's assistant chief on that said termination was too severe. And I felt the same way. He got a suspension. Semantics, I only sat on one. And I voted to deal some discipline to that officer. I guess that means maybe I'm not as bad as everybody seems to say. If we're as bad as everybody says, why don't we have one of the lowest crime rates now? City's our side. One of the fifth best city in the country to live in. I'm telling you, the police are doing some things right out there. Remember, all these proponents keep coming back to the same thing. Rodney King, O.J. Simpson, Johnny Gandy. They are not, repeat, not Pittsburgh police cases. I know you have a hard time with that. They are not Pittsburgh police cases. We had 1,600 cases were brought forward, allegations against police officers. That's over 10 years, and that's an incorrect figure. It was 1,200. We answer 4 million calls over 10 years. We have 200,000 arrests, 350,000 citations. Of those 1,200 cases brought forward, most of them were bogus. They can make statistics show what they want. I've never said I'm for bad cops. I voted to suspend the one case I've been involved in. I've only been the president since March, less than a year. I was at the north side the other day. A young officer came up to me who was working night turn. This was 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, you know what happened to me at 4 o'clock this morning? I got out of my car, an individual came up to me, stood 2 foot from me, looked at my name and looked at my badge number, turned around and said, uh-huh, and he walks away. I guarantee you, when that individual gets arrested, or when some friend of his gets arrested, or when he just has a bad hair day, and he wants to screw with a police officer, that officer's name and badge number is going to be brought forward for calling him names, for pushing him around, and taking some illegal action. That's how bad the system is against the police. My job as a union president is to support the police. I've done that. People find that hard to believe. I'm supporting the police. But remember this, when it came crunch time and it was my time to say, well, maybe this individual is wrong, I voted, much as everybody likes to think, say no, I voted to suspend this guy. He got like a $15,000 penalty. The other officer involved in the same case was found not guilty. Maybe it's because the evidence wasn't there in the second case, because there's more evidence out there. Let them have their day in court, and if they have their day in court and they're found guilty, then we will do away with them. But don't paint us all the same brush. Thank you for your time.
I think some of the most valuable social learning goes on in public debates like this one, and I want to thank everyone for coming out to participate as audience members. I want to thank the advocates for taking time out of their busy schedules to come and share their ideas with us. I want to thank the members of the William Pitt Debating Union for tirelessly working to prepare and research the issue, and particularly two members that I haven't mentioned yet, Tim O'Donnell and Kelly Happy, PhD students in the department, who made an extraordinary effort to make this event possible. I also want to say that we're planning on doing additional debates like this one in the future, so we would appreciate your feedback in terms of suggestions for topics or suggestions for format. And we have forums outside on the outside table that you can convey that information to us. And finally, I want to reiterate that after the debate, we are committed to opening up our cameras for people to come forward and tell personal experiences that they've had, good or bad, about the issue of police accountability. We are committed to taking those personal experiences and including them in the full transcript.